In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we got a lot going on today in our lessons, so I had to make notes. We'll see how far off track I get here in the next few minutes. So I hope you've enjoyed singing the Alleluias today, because as this is the last Sunday before Lent, we're going to put those Alleluias away for a while. And since this is the last Sunday before Lent, I thought that it might be good to have a little recap of the Sundays that we've had since Epiphany. We've had and we've seen and we've heard the wise men coming from afar, journeying and visiting with Jesus and his family. We've seen and we've heard that heaven opened and a voice proclaimed, "This is my son," as Jesus was standing on the banks of the River Jordan. We've seen how the disciples and those who were there at that wedding feast of Cana tasted good wine. We've seen and we've heard how those who were with Jesus listened as he taught in the synagogue and heard him profess that in him that day the scripture had been fulfilled. And we've heard about the angry crowd which drove Jesus out of the synagogue but couldn't actually stop his preaching. We've seen and heard the disciples, whenever Jesus told them to put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch, and they witnessed and they believed. And then we've heard how Jesus declared that blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And we've heard how the disciples were taught to love their enemies and to do to others as you would have them do unto you. Some of those who witnessed these things, who heard and who watched, some were amazed, some became angry. But there were an awful lot who witnessed and found hope. And a handful of them left everything that they had to follow Jesus. One thing is that no matter what the reaction was, each and every one of those people who came into contact with Jesus was changed. They were changed. If you look at our lessons today here, on this last Sunday after the Epiphany, we're talking a lot about change. Moses goes up to the mountain and his face is glowing. He's glowing because he's come in contact with God, become so close with God that he can't help but exude that glory. And it scares people. It scares people when you come close to God. This is a universal truth. Whether or not your face is shining, when you get awful close to the truth, it makes people very uncomfortable. It truly terrifies people. Whenever we read about Jesus going up to the mountaintop for this transfiguration, Jesus has changed before their eyes. See, these are the same people who had witnessed all of these little miracles throughout Jesus' ministry. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the Messiah. And now, they know. They've seen something. And once you've seen this, you can't unsee it. You can't unknow it. They have been changed just like Jesus. Because now they know something that's unquestionably true. Jesus really is the Son of God. Jesus really is the Messiah. They've come in contact with Jesus too, and now they have a light shining from them too. But here's the thing. The light emanating from the disciples who witnessed this transfiguration, they didn't shine from their face. No, that light shone from their hearts. That light shone from their hearts. To be truly changed in the presence of God means that you're going to live your life differently. Because once you've been changed, once something has happened to you that is so dramatic, so profound, you don't go back to living life the old way. You're someone new. You are, dare I say it, and to quote the Bible, a new creation. Change is difficult. Okay? We're Episcopalians, okay? As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, right? We don't like change. We like things that are the same. We like things that go along that are comforting. But the reality is, God says, you can't be comfortable in this world. You can't be. There's too much wrong. That fall from grace, we've gone a long way from what God intended for humanity to be. We can't be comfortable here. But we can be changed. We can be altered and made something that can be used for the greater glory of God. We can have that light to emanate from our hearts. Something that doesn't need to be veiled. No, instead, something that needs to be allowed to shine bright and strong into this world that is so broken and hurting. My brothers and sisters, being a Christian should be difficult. If you find it easy, you're doing it wrong. That's just, you put that on Bible paper, okay? That's how true that is. If you find it easy to be a Christian, you're doing it wrong. We have to be people who are not comfortable with the status quo. We have to be the people who are willing to put ourselves out there. If we've been transformed, then the world we know needs to be transformed as well. And if we can do that incrementally, little bit by little bit, whenever we can, letting that light shine, that glory of God that has come close to us, we can change the world. And you say, well, you know, how often do I really come before the presence of God like that? Well, you know what? We're about to here in about 20, 30 minutes, whenever we come up here to this altar. We're going to have the opportunity to come face to face with something unique. We'll have the bread and the wine before us. As you put out your hand, and I put the wafer in your hand, it doesn't really matter which sort of Eucharistic theology you have, whether or not you believe it literally is the body and blood, or if it's metaphorically the body and blood, or if you think whatever about communion. You've come to a special thin place between yourself, this world, and the divine. You've had the opportunity to have that close encounter of the third kind. Who knew it? If you can come before God in such a simple way, don't you think that you can come before God and be in God's presence in so many different kinds of ways? I think that you can enter that divine space whenever you are with a friend that needs comforting. If you have the opportunity to go and volunteer some hours, if you have the opportunity to love someone who is unloved, you have that opportunity to stand in that thin space and be before the glory of God and with another one of God's precious children. And you can change. You can change the world for the better by letting your light shine. All you have to do is just change yourself, right? Right, I can't remember which author it was that says everybody wants to change, but nobody wants to change themselves. It is our job, my brothers and sisters, to be uncomfortable. It is our job to change things. No matter how uncomfortable it makes us, we are called to be people of change. We're coming up on the Lenten season. And there will be lots of people who give up coffee and, oh God, I couldn't do that, chocolate, sweets, different little things like that. God doesn't need you to fast from little things like that. God needs you to fast from a hateful heart. God needs you to take time away from being self-centered. God needs you to take time away from wanting what you want and instead want more of what the world needs. Over the next 40 days from, I'm getting into my Ash Wednesday sermon, I better stop or you're going to hear this twice. Over the next 40 days, over this Lenten period, I want you to seriously think about what you need to do to change yourself, to change the world. Oftentimes it's countercultural. And that's okay. Christian church was not meant to be a cultural phenomenon. We were meant to be the round peg in a square hole. Matter of fact, I'm going to end with a quote here that mentions that. It's from an author, and his name is Rob Siltanen. And some of you may have heard this before. And he's talking about the people who change the world. My brothers and sisters, I want you to listen carefully, because this is really what God calls us to be. He says, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. My brothers and sisters, no one has ever accused the Episcopal Church of being sane. Okay? Let's go out there and be crazy and change the world. Amen.